You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block.
Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, artists and exhibitionists, voyeurs and connoisseurs, porn stars and porn fans, golden agers and young lovers. We're here at the Golden Age of Adult Cinema in the Cupcake Theater, the third night. It is very exciting to meet up with all of these vintage porn stars and hear their stories and connect with them. Some of them we know, some of them we're meeting for the first time, and we're just very excited to be here at David Bertolino's production here at the Cupcake Theater. And right next to me is Melissa Hill.
Hello.
I'm just meeting tonight.
Yes, we are, finally.
We are, but we're Facebook friends. And you interviewed me on your show.
Right.
About
bonobos.
And let's do a promo. Bonobo Way, the evolution of peace through pleasure. And I enjoyed our interview very much. And so now you're here, and I get to hear about you.
What do you want to hear?
Well, what brings you here tonight?
Well, Annie Sprinkle.
Yeah.
Annie freaking Sprinkle. I saw Annie Sprinkle perform her one-woman show in Berkeley.
Oh, okay.
In 1993, 1994.
That's when I saw it down here at, someplace in Santa Monica, like Crossroads or Highways. It was a place called Highways,
uh-huh.
I think. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very good.
I still have the speculum.
Ah.
Part of the souvenir stand,
wow,
in the lobby was she was selling speculum. So Annie Sprinkle taught me how to use a speculum.
And stuff.
Right, and yeah, it was at the very beginning of my career as an actress in the adult industry.
Oh.
And that speculum came in very handy.
Of course.
Right, you know, so.
You know, my husband was her first publisher. Captain Max was her first publisher. He published Annie Sprinkle's Hot Shit, Love Magazine, lots of magazines that she was in. And so he was old friends with her. And that's when I met her, was at her one-woman show. So, yeah, we both got to know her through her one-woman show.
Wow, so we're kind of connected then.
We are. And I got her titties on my head, did you?
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I remember though about Annie's show though was the fact that I can't remember if it was her putting makeup on or taking it off.
Uh huh.
Right? It was the whole process of her sitting at her vanity, her makeup vanity, and I'm guessing she was taking it off, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. And she douched, or she had an orgasm, or both.
Or something.
Yeah, lots of stuff. Yeah, yeah, it was exciting.
You know what? I think it was she was putting makeup on. She was putting makeup on, because then she put, I don't freaking know, but there was a fall, like a hair.
Uh huh. And it
clip
inspired you.
Well, it made me see, I was like, wow, she's really beautiful. And then you saw her fully, like, exposed.
And she was very open and honest about it.
Right, yeah. And so I think that was very powerful to me. I never forgot it.
And you started doing porn at that time?
I was just brand new, yeah.
And what got you into porn?
I needed the money.
That was an answer that a lot of the ladies gave tonight, you know?
Yeah.
And hey, it's the second oldest profession, maybe. I mean,
To be honest, it was, I never really thought about it as being I needed the money, but it was more about wanting to put myself through college.
Okay.
I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area,
yeah,
and I was a dance instructor. I wanted to be a choreographer. I wanted to pay
like
my...
Like jazz dance?
Ballet. Right. But it was a little of everything. I also did hula and what we called street jazz, which was like the Janet Jackson, the Paula Abdul stuff at the time.
The early 90s.
Yeah, with the MC Hammer band.
right. Can't touch this.
I can still Cabbage Patch like nobody's business. Seriously.
Wow. And so what... You just thought, I got to make some money, I got to do it fast, and porn opened up for you?
It was, I actually, to be honest, I tried to do, I have this so I can hear you. I answered an ad for phone sex line, and they never called me back.
And their loss.
And then a girlfriend of mine and I went into the city, San Francisco. We went into the city and we did an audition for the Regal Showroom, Where You Are King. It was an it, like the strip clubs up in the Bay, up in San Francisco at that time.
Okay. Good tagline.
Yeah, they're not. They weren't like pole dancing places. They were more like phone fantasy booth.
Gotcha.
Things, and so we did this thing with Double in the Bubble. Where the windows are fogged up, and then the people put the money in it, and then it defogs, and then you're all like, hey, I'm dancing in the Double in the Bubble.
Sexy.
I got the job, but we never went back.
Uh-huh.
Sort of like a little bit about Kelly Nichols and the Marines.
Yeah, yeah. So how many movies have you been in?
Well,
clips. I mean, there's.
Oh, I don't perform anymore. I've been retired since 2000.
Oh, since 2000.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
you did it for about 8 years, 7 years, 8 years.
Not even. I guess about like six years. I worked and I started doing amateurs up in San Francisco in like 1993.
What was the favorite movie that you did? Your favorite?
Girl with the Heart-Shaped Tattoo, which is a Kelly Holland, Tony English.
Kelly Holland.
Yeah.
We love Kelly Holland.
Right. She was just starting out as a director for Vivid.
Okay.
And I think it was actually my second Vivid production. And that was just a lot of fun. It was shot in Technicolor.
The girl with the
heart-shaped tattoo.
Heart-shaped tattoo, like
yes.
The dragon tattoo, but heart-shaped.
Correct. Right.
Right. Right. Right. Do you have a heart-shaped tattoo?
No, I don't. Tom Byron was in it, though.
Oh,
he played
Tom
a thug.
Byron. Yes.
Yeah.
That's where we just ran into you.
Right.
On the Marketplace floor.
Right.
Yeah.
And then another favorite film of mine was Penetrator 2, which was actually based off of Terminator 2. So I played Farrah Connor.
Okay, fair.
And Tom Byron was also in that one as well. I think it was a non-speaking part. And I remember him coming up to me and saying, so what do I have to do to get a speak? Something was like, what do I have to do to get a starring role in one of your films? But he thought it was me, because at the time I was dating the director of the movie.
Oh.
And I said, I don't know, I'll ask him. And Nick Kramer, who directed the film, said he'd have to cut his hair. And he cut his hair. He cut his hair.
All right.
Cut his hair, and the rest is history.
That's what you do to enter the Marines or be in an adult movie.
Right, and here he is today.
And there he is.
Silver Fox and all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, so you got out of the adult business in 2000, and...
I did nothing adult-oriented for 14, 15 years. And then I woke up and...
from your sleeping beauty sleep?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I woke up from my slumber and I got inducted into the AVN Hall of Fame, and then Bill Margold had me inducted into the Legends of Erotica.
R.I.P. Bill Margold. Yes, and this event is kind of dedicated to him. Yeah, he influenced a lot of people here and left us very recently while doing his radio show, which brings us to you, because you do radio now.
I do. And it
did
was,
he inspire you to do that?
Yeah, he did. Actually, he would talk to... Actually, one of the first times that Bill spoke to me about doing a radio show was during a photo session for Serena. Serena, who was here this evening.
Serena, whose
shirt...
Beautiful Serena.
Serena, this is her tagline, or darling... So I wore this T-shirt because Serena gave it to me,
uh-huh.
And this is her little line or her word, darling.
Darling.
And so this was in honor of
that's what
Serena.
She called Warren Beatty.
this is in honor of Serena and Bill Margold. For I would have never met Serena had it not been for Bill.
Uh-huh.
And anyway, so yeah, so about
and I want to give a shout out to Sarah. Who I would not have met you if it wasn't for Sarah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, no, I thought. Well,
kind of
actually,
met, sort of. Before.
Yeah, I interviewed you for Rock Talk because
of
Howard.
Howard.
Right, Howard Levine, who was my co-creator of Rock Talk, at the time. We were brand new. We were newbies in the radio thing. I'd seen you around.
That's true.
I've always seen you. Like, I've seen you at the Vivid holiday roller skating party. I saw you at the Deep Throat sex scandal.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I've seen you around, but I was always terrified.
Of the hat, right.
Terrified of the hat and the microphone.
Yeah, the hat is scary. Yeah, yeah. But the hat is very appropriate. You know why?
Why?
Because it's the year of the cock. It's the year of the rooster, the Chinese year of the rooster.
I thought it was the year of the monkey.
No, that was last year. That was last year. That's what got us into all this trouble.
Oh, okay.
But now it's the year of the screeching, feathered bird that tweets a lot. Yeah. So.
Right. But, I'm actually terrified of your show. Because I always say, people say, do
this
you want to be...
This is my show.
No, this right here, I'm good with. It's the Saturday night one that Sarah would try to get me. And I go, I don't do crazy monkey sex.
Crazy monkey sex.
Not meaning anything about the bonobos. That was just a coincidence. That's what I call...
They're apes, by the way.
That's what I call anything that's just crazy monkey sex.
Like, oh, okay.
You know?
You didn't do that when you were in porn?
No, straight.
No,
I was
very,
very,
straight
very
sex.
Vanilla. I used condoms during...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so...
We use a lot of condoms. And we don't always have sex. Not like everybody has sex on my show. But, yeah, a lot... certain people do. Yeah, yeah. No.
Right. But, well, sexual... looking stuff.
Yeah, well, you're sexual looking stuff just sitting there.
Oh, crap. Poor Penny. Every week, it's another one of her...
Oh. There's all kinds of craziness going on in the marketplace of the Cupcake Theater. Yeah, no, here, I would love for you to eat this cupcake right here.
Okay.
Right? I mean, I know this is not crazy monkey sex. Can you lick it? No? Yeah.
No.
Oh, she's just biting. No licking.
I'm a nibbler.
Yeah.
I see.
She's licking the cupcake. Yes, she's showing her porn star props. Licking, well, it's appropriate to have a cupcake at the Cupcake Theater, and that is what Melissa Hill is doing.
Yes, thank you very
much. But you're too pretty to just be on radio.
Aw, aren't you sweet?
But, you know, radio these days, it always has some video. So your show is something that we can hear, see?
Yes, it's on, am I allowed to say? It's on LA Talk Radio on Tuesday evenings. Live at 7 p.m.
All right.
And it's called Raw Talk on Channel 1. We've just had, I think, we've been on the air for a year and a half. We had a one-year anniversary show, which was really fantastic on September 6th, and we were visited by Cameron Crowe, Academy Award-winning director Cameron Crowe.
That's very nice.
Yeah. So Tuesday we're going to have Matt Zane.
All right.
Are you familiar? You know Zane, right?
Yeah.
And his band, Society One.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
So you interview all kinds of people.
All kinds of people. I mean, last week I had Brian Sebastian, who's a former partner of Bill Margold's.
Okay.
They did a movie review program together called Movie Reviews and More. Mm. So it actually ended up being a story of telling stories about Bill.
Well... stories must be told about Bill, because he certainly was a great storyteller himself and told all kinds of stories about everybody else.
He was. He was a cantankerous...
Cantankerous
character. I loved him, though. Loved him.
Go.
I did.
Right.
You know, there's some people
What's a Bill Margold story you got?
Well, for me, you know, I had a very limited time with him. I think I met him around 2000, 2001. I was already done.
Yeah,
I had blonde hair, and I saw him outside of a movie theater, and he calls me over. It was on Sunset at an independent movie theater on Sunset, the Lemley, I think. He goes, Melissa Hill, I saw Masseuse 3. You made me cry. And
aww.
I was like, really? And then I didn't see him again until 2013.
Made him cry.
Yeah.
So this is a porn movie.
Yeah, yeah.
That made him cry.
Yeah, Masseuse 3. It was a Vivid movie. I wasn't even the star. But I was...
You got a poignant part.
Apparently so. I didn't really...
Were you just so hot and sexy that it made him
No,
cry?
No, no, no.
Gave him such a good orgasm.
No.
He cried afterwards.
No, I did... during my career, I actually worked on a lot of films.
People were still shooting on film back then, some were. Mm-hmm. And so, there's a lot of stuff going on in my life. So I actually always had a lot of emotional parts. Ah. I just didn't know that people paid attention to them. And so when he said that to me, however many years later, because then the next time I didn't see him again until February of 2013, he said the very same thing. I saw you in Masseuse 3. You made me cry.
Aww.
You need to be in, he goes, you're a legend. You need to be in the, and I said, and he goes, I'm going to make sure that happens.
All right. Well, you are a legend. You're in the ABN Hall of Fame, and you're doing a talk show. And what do you think? Do you watch porn yourself?
I've seen, you mean current porn?
Well, I was just wondering if you think porn was better then or not.
Oh, no, it was better then.
The hair, right? Everyone was hairy. Well, not in the 90s, but in the 80s and the 70s.
Even the movies that I saw as a kid that I wasn't supposed to see because my father didn't lock up his cabinet very well. And so, and we had the VCR at home. And I remember seeing the movies that just made me laugh. I just loved them. I mean, I would actually fast forward through the sex. I thought the dialogue, the acting was really funny. And I really seriously thought that they were just movies, that they were just one level above R. It was just the next rating level. There's G,
well,
PG,
they are.
R, and X.
Really?
I mean,
that's what I thought when I was a kid, too.
Right.
That was the next level.
Right, it's just the next level. And so that's how I conducted my career. Was that, even though I started off doing amateurs, when I started doing amateurs, I was like, what is that? Where's the script? Where's the movie? So it took me a couple years to work up to that.
Do you think that'll ever come back, the whole idea of doing a full-length feature film with story and great acting and costumes and sex?
I sure hope so. Last weekend, Veronica Hart, who was on stage.
Yes, we love Veronica Hart.
Announced that she inherited Femme Productions.
Oh, from Candida Royale.
Yes.
Yes, very good.
So, and she's, looking for female directors that haven't had, a chance yet.
Oh.
So I'm throwing my hat into that
Have
ring.
Have you ever directed?
I did a little bit.
Yeah.
But back during my acting career, just, I did some local mail order stuff.
So I got to ask, if you direct a film for Femme Productions, will there be monkey sex?
Crazy monkey sex.
I can't wait to watch it.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, anything's possible. I never thought I'd be on the radio. And I also started the Adult Industry Support Group, AISG.
Oh, right. Sarah's a part of that, isn't she?
She was helping me. I mean, I don't, it's confidential, so
oh.
I don't.
It's confidential. We don't have, get
right.
to know who's in it.
Right. I have an email address and a phone number that people can contact me through, and I verify them as being a person from the industry.
Right.
And then I give them the location of the meeting so that it's not just out there in the public. But we have meetings on Thursday nights in West LA and on Saturday afternoons in Chatsworth.
And people can find you on Facebook, Melissa Hill.
Right. You can find me on Facebook or on Twitter even. So Twitter, I'm Melissa_HillXXX. And then there's a link to the AISG, which is Adult Industry Support Group.
All right. Well, that's terrific, the work that you're doing. Very activist. Yes.
I'm kind of like, I'm just trying to give back to the industry that treated me so well when I came back, but after my slumber of 15 years, and they
really, like a sleeping beauty. You weren't in prison with Ginger Lynn, were you?
Oh, gosh, no. But that was a great story. So anyway, thank you. I feel my phone going.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We've loved having you. And do come visit us in Bonoboville. We won't sick any monkeys on you.
Crazy monkey sex.
Yeah. You can come and be in the audience. Yeah,
all
Melissa
right.
Hill, brothers and sisters, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Finish your cupcake.
Oh.
Take it with you.
Do I take this off?
Yeah, you can. You should take the headsets off, though, right? You can't take the headsets with you. Right, it's a form of bondage.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, okay.
I just folded
you got
up my
that.
Photo.
You just folded up your photo.
I just folded up my photo.
Okay. All right. So I don't need to give you a card. You know where to find me. And
I'll take one anyway.
You can take one. Yeah. Bonobo Way. And,
all right. And then I'll contact you.
Good luck to you with all of your endeavors.
Thank you very
great
much.
Great to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, look who's here. Lily Cade.
Oh, good.
Yay. Lily Cade. Come on. You want to come in here,
yeah.
Lily Cade? So we're here at the Cupcake Theater having cupcakes. Can I have another cupcake here? I have a
Do
new I guest.
Look presentable?
Yeah, you look always presentable. You're very gorgeous. This is Lily Cade, gold star, lesbian film star.
Still.
And you're still gold
still,
star, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's still true. I haven't seen you in years.
Yeah, like 7 years.
7 years. Amazing.
I ran into you at DomCon in like 13 or something.
Yeah. You like cupcakes?
I can't eat that.
You can't. You can look at it, though. Okay. And you can do something sexy with it. Yeah, yeah. You could, like, stick your tongue out and sniff it and... Ah, Lily Cade. Yeah, so Lily Cade is...
I would have an allergic reaction. But look
oh,
how
no, we
good
don't want that. No, we don't want that. But we're happy to have you here. And Lily is, gold star, lesbian porn star. You've been with Girlfriend Films, with Philly Films. What are you with
Everyone
now? What are you doing now?
Everyone who shoots Girl Girl, I have shot for. I get up about twice a week to do stand-up comedy. I direct for Philly Films and Severe Sex. I have a website, lilycade.com.
Severe Sex, that's Mistress D. Severe, right?
Yeah,
we know her.
Yeah.
Cool.
She's an adorable person.
Well, we haven't seen you in a while, but we did some great shows with you, Lily Cade. Oh, my goddess.
Yeah,
oh, we did.
Shit, man.
Aerostay.
The first time
yes.
I ever had sex with 16 women in a night.
Yes. It was quite an orgy, and you were in the middle of it. You were definitely,
Always.
Totally in the middle. And
Always.
You, like, broke in Ella Darling, so to speak.
That's right.
Not that you broke her, but, you know, you brought her in.
She's still around.
Yeah. She's hotter than ever.
I broke her the way you break a horse. You know,
yeah.
Once it's broken, it's much more useful.
She was very happy. Yeah.
I think I...
You fisted her, I think. Yeah, you fisted her. She squirted. It was wild.
And you were,
wearing that amazing big strap-on.
At that time, I think my go-to dick was like a huge black one.
Yes, it was huge and black.
Huge and black.
And it was so hot.
I'll show you my current go-to dick. The nice thing about not having been born yet.
I'm glad you brought your dick.
Is that if I don't like it, I can buy another one.
And you know, it is the year of the cock.
It is.
It's the year of the rooster, Chinese New Year of the rooster. So we're excited that you brought your own cock. Can I see that? Yeah. Oh wow.
Yeah.
A blue one. Nice
Tortola.
Size, too. What's the size of this?
7.5 inches
Seven and
of
a half?
Solid
okay.
silicone.
Mm.
In the approximate shape, and this
nice
is the
head.
Important
yeah.
part, angle of the human erection, which enables me to get all those don't try it at home porno positions, you know? I have put this fake dick in more women than you have put your real dick, unless you are.
You know.
Attila the Hun, Wilt Chamberlain, or like certain male talent that are older than me.
Eat your heart out, guys. Well, actually, what Lily Cade tends to do is inspire guys to want to use their tool. A lot of them look at you and they go,
pretend to be me.
I want to do that too. I want to do something like
me.
That. Yeah, absolutely. So we're so excited to have you, and we're going to have you back in Bonoboville soon.
I'd actually like to come back.
Yeah.
Like, it's honestly good to see you again. Like, you know,
yeah.
It's been a while.
Yeah, you did some great shows
some...
with us. Lupercalia, which we just celebrated last week. You know, it's a new era now, and we need
it's
to...
It's the Trump years, man.
What do you feel about that?
As a human being, sad. As an artist, energized.
Well, he's easy to make fun of, in a way.
I like to dress up like Donald
Trump.
We have a
Trump doll that we stuff dildos in his mouth.
I like to dress up like Donald Trump and go on stage.
You do. You dress up like Donald Trump.
Because I kind of look like Donald Trump.
Wow.
I love to grab him by the pussy, you know?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Do you wear a mask or you just...
No.
Well, you know, you got hair.
Yeah.
If you kind of frosted it a little bit, you'd be just... Yeah.
I'll show you a picture.
Okay. Lily Cade as Donald Trump. I'm warming up to the idea. I think it works.
This is...
Well, I'd certainly rather have you grab my pussy than Donald Trump. That's for sure. Oh, yeah. Lily always grabs my pussy, I have to say. She did it every show she was on.
This is me as
there's no reason she shouldn't do it again. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
What am I doing?
Grabbing her pussy. Yeah, she probably taught Donald Trump how to grab pussy.
She's older than me.
But she's a consensual pussy grabber.
None of the women whose pussies I grabbed tried to file a lawsuit.
No lawsuits against
Lily. Which is the difference between me and Donald Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
Also a lot of money and the presidency.
Well, you could run for office.
I am.
What school did you go to? What's the school you went to?
Caltech and USC.
Caltech
and USC. And I will be 35 in 2020.
All right.
Follow my hashtag LilyKate4, that's the number.
Awesome.
President on Twitter.
Yes.
Because where else, you know, like we are our current president to Twitter, so why not the next one?
Well, yeah, you know, I ran for president in 92 and for vice president in 2008, so I recommend it. It's good to get out there and press the flesh, you know, so to speak. Right.
Politics are fun,
absolutely.
Right?
So we're just thrilled to bump into you, and we'll see you soon.
Yeah, thank you so much for talking
to
me.
Lily Cade here at the golden age of adult cinema,
like
getting inspired by the vintage ladies. Mm.
I love those girls. I already made out with Ginger Lynn and we got a date.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ginger Lynn is hot. Okay. Thank you. Love you. Okay. Serena. Max, can you talk to Serena? She said she'd just chat for a moment. Serena, right over there. Serena. Just tell her for a few minutes. Yeah. And here we are at the golden age of adult cinema. I'm Dr. Susan Block, just in case you were wondering what you are tuned into. And we're here at the Marketplace. There's a lot of noise. If you're tuned in on Facebook, you probably can't hear anything. But, you know, we're having some fun talking to people at the show. And yeah. It's Oscar night, but, you know, this is more fun, really. And we're, you know, this is, let's say, the more honestly sexy side of the entertainment business. That's what this celebrates. And this celebrates a time when, you know, adult films were like kind of regular films. They were big budget, you know, they had a big plot and acting and, you know, the acting was no better or worse than a lot of Hollywood films. And they had sex right in the middle of all the other stuff. And it kind of was woven into the story. And some of the stories were amazing, like Ginger Lynn was in Taboo for, which actually I was in. No, I did not have a sex role, but I did play a radio host in the beginning of Taboo 4, interviewing Jamie Gillis about what he was doing with his daughters. Naughty, naughty. And here we have Serena. So excited to have you here, Serena. You did a fantastic job on your interview with Nick Santamaria that was one of the feature interviews on the golden age of adult cinema here at the Cupcake Theater. And welcome to the Dr. Susan Block Show. We met each other in the ladies' room.
You look phenomenal.
Oh, thank you. Can we? Can you talk a little closer to the microphone here? Can you hear?
Rainbow lady.
I can't hear her. Wait 1 second. Where's Abe? Where's Abe? Abraham, we can't hear her voice somehow. Yeah. We're recording, and so we can hear her on the recording. Is that right? Yes, we can hear you on the recording. So, you know, talk away. So we met in the ladies' room, and you were calling me the rainbow lady? What? Oh, because of the hat.
Oh, you look like a rainbow, yes.
Well,
I had butterflies in my stomach, so I had to take a last-minute pee before I went on stage.
Well, you know, it's good to empty your bladder.
Right.
It's too bad you couldn't empty it on Donald Trump. No, never mind.
Don't get me started.
Well, I might. we actually did a video called Golden Showers on Trump where we took a Donald Trump kind of person with a mask on and peed all over him. Russian hookers eat your heart out. Now, golden age of adult cinema has nothing to do with golden showers for Trump. Or maybe it does. But in any case, Serena was one of the great, great stars of the golden age of adult cinema, really. In the 70s and the 80s, you did about 110 films.
About 100 in the 70s.
Yeah, in the 70s.
Right.
And then you...
Mostly with Jamie Gillis, actually.
Jamie Gillis, right. And Jamie was... that was the one that I interviewed on this little segment that I was on Taboo 4. And he was a pretty dark kind of guy. But
he was.
Was he a good lover?
He was phenomenal. His dick was like the perfect
huge
thickness.
Good. As can Donald Trump
that?
Might say. It was the perfect what?
Thickness.
Thickness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, of course
perfect.
You can say thickness.
Well.
And you can say dick because you know what? It's the year of the cock. It's
right. It is.
Chinese year of the
astrology.
Rooster. So we're good.
Jamie and I were like the perfect dark and light. He was like.
Yes.
The darkness of the like New York subways, and I was the California kid.
California hippie chick.
Beach kid.
Very much so, and so beautiful. And you're still so beautiful.
Thank you.
You know, we were looking at your pictures earlier, and you haven't changed.
Thank you.
And tell us a little bit more about Warren Beatty, because he was never in a movie with you, I guess. You never did a movie with him.
Well, everybody did Warren. But I wanted to be one of them.
Not everybody.
Well, pretty much everybody. But I really...
A few hundred, let's say.
I thought he was the cat's meow, and I had a big crush on him. And
yeah, how did you meet?
After Shampoo, he was just gorgeous.
Oh, yes.
He's still gorgeous.
He is. And how did you meet?
At the Hefner Mansion.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I was selected.
The Playboy Mansion.
Yeah.
And so he was hanging out and he spied you and he said, bring her to me.
A movie in Hefner's theater.
Oh, yeah.
And
I used to do that.
They put me next to him, sitting there in the auditorium.
Oh.
And he argued with me like the entire movie. That's
really?
Like... That's his way of coming on
flirting.
To you.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he argues
to engage
all the time.
You.
Yeah, yeah.
Try to engage you intellectually.
Yeah.
To show that he doesn't think you're just a piece of meat.
And also,
because he likes
that you're not just the flake.
Yeah, you know, he wants to suss you out and see if you can carry on a good argument.
So anyway.
You did.
Hefner took Constance Money, who... was in Play Misty for Me, which was a big movie at the time with Jamie Gillis and Gloria Leonard.
Right, of course, a classic Play Misty for Me.
And so Hefner took Constance Money and gave me to Warren, and we all went upstairs and spent all night.
In Hefner's bed?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And
it was fun
because... We were making love like all night long, and well into the morning. But we were watching on two screens. I remember it was odd. The King Kong that was out then with Jessica Lange.
Oh yeah, that was kind of sexy movie.
Yeah, and that movie was playing like the whole time, and then Hef put it on pause or something, and he said, "What do you want to eat?" Like in the middle of the night. He said, you can get anything you want.
Right.
And I said, I don't know, like a peanut butter sandwich or something.
And he said, simple.
He said, no.
I would have
really
ordered lobster.
Anything you want.
Caviar.
I said, well, I guess I would like a shrimp cocktail.
All right.
That was like
a step
deal.
Up from peanut
that
butter.
That was a big deal for me. I love shrimp cocktails.
And especially because it has the word cock in it. Yeah. Like.
So. That's what I got in bed at Hefner's house.
But it lasted a while, you and Warren.
Yeah.
You kept seeing him. I'm not saying you were his only, but you were seeing him a lot.
Yeah.
Wow. And so how was he in bed? You were saying he lasted a long time.
That was really the drugs that were going around, though.
Well, whatever it is, he lasted a long time. I don't know if that's always a good thing. Sometimes the girl gets worn out.
Yeah.
Come already, would ya? Right. But that's so cool. And so you haven't seen him in a while. But he's going to do a new movie.
I heard it's already out. Somebody said they already saw it.
Oh, okay. What do I know?
About The Aviator.
The Aviator.
No,
okay.
The Aviator.
The what?
The Aviator.
Right, there you go. So that's a new Warren Beatty movie that I obviously have not seen or even really heard of.
They did a write-up in Vanity Fair recently about it.
So you ever think about, you know, calling him up? I guess you don't have his number anymore.
No,
I don't know.
I'd have to go through a net binning.
Oh, right,
and finally,
right, right.
Finally, he has someone that, you know, he
stable.
Really, really likes.
Yeah, but that doesn't
lady,
mean he.
So.
Maybe they have a threesome. I don't know. But in any case, you're with someone now, right? You have a new love in your life.
I do, and
yeah.
I've been faithful for 20 years.
Wow.
I really have.
You don't even have threesomes?
I don't, and it's like, what's wrong with me? I swear that I'm so happy, it doesn't really matter.
Do you watch porn?
Yeah.
What kind of porn do you like now?
Gay porn.
Really? You like to watch guys or girls?
Guys.
Guys. You like to watch guys doing each other?
Yeah, I
wow.
do.
Wow. And does your
that
guy
really
like to watch that
on.
Too?
I don't know. You have to ask him.
So you watch that while you're giving him head. It's like... They give you inspiration.
Yeah.
All right. So what was the favorite movie, your favorite movie that you did?
Definitely one with Jamie. We did a couple good
ones. He was your favorite partner.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Jamie Gillis.
Yeah.
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 All right.
We did some hot stuff
together. You did a lot. It's not about the particular movie. Always. It's sometimes just a series that you did with him. Yeah, you did a great series with him. So that's totally cool. So do you think that porn was better then or now?
Then.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because of the movie length and the movie style?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No question.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people feel. And you know, it's kind of sad that porn is sort of in a ghetto in a way now. Then it was something you saw in the theater. Just like you saw
that's
other
exactly
movies in the
right.
theater.
That's
and
exactly right.
Now it's just something you jack off to. And then, you know,
you
I mean...
You could do that, too.
You could do that, too. But you could also just go with a date. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Date porn.
Date porn. There you go. And what about the state of freedom in America? Do you think we're freer now or were we freer then? Because, I mean, you're a free spirit. I would think freedom's very important to you.
It is. I don't know what's going to happen now. I mean, it's really a scary time.
It's a scary time.
Yeah.
It is.
I think there's a fascist in the White House.
Yeah, we invited him here tonight, Donald Trump, but he refused. Then again, he refused to speak at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, so we don't feel bad that he refused to come to our show.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's like, really thumbing his nose at everything that... you know, a lot of Americans value. And porn is on the horizon. I mean, it's certainly part of the Republican platform to go up against. Probably not number one when he's, you know, ripping tumor patients from the hospital and sending them to detention camps, you know, which he just did with this one woman who was a so-called illegal immigrant. We're all illegal immigrants here in America, you know? Belongs to the Native Americans. But, yeah, there's a lot of crazy, scary stuff going on, you know? And I guess it really troubles you.
I don't know. I've seriously considered Canada, but...
Really?
My husband's sweetheart says, no, we got to stick it out here.
Yeah.
You know, we really do.
Well, I think that's a good
ground.
Idea. I mean, for now, anyway, until it gets crazy, you know, if you got to save your life, you do. But right now, it's important for people like us to to
get
resist. That's why I'm wearing my safety pins. Yes, indeed, my safety pins. And, you know, we got to stand up to the tyranny.
Yeah.
As best we can. It's difficult because he's doing so many terrible things at once.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's important,
but
especially.
But we need to do so many good things at once.
We got to try.
All, you know.
And that's why we talk about it on this show, even though, it's a difficult thing to talk about. And it's not like we don't love the Trumpers. We do. We have Trumpers on this show, and we love them, but yeah, we certainly are against the tyranny of the Trump administration. And we're glad to have a fellow, a fellow traveler. You definitely seem like a fellow traveler to me. I feel very connected to you, like meeting you in the ladies' room like that was fantastic. And you're beautiful, and you did such a wonderful series of films, and Annette Bening is a lovely woman, but Warren Beatty was a lucky man to have you even for a couple years.
Well, Lanier.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Would you like a cupcake?
I would love one.
Okay. Can we see you, like, lick it or eat it or a little bit? It's home. They're homemade by Gypsy. Gypsy Bonobo made the cupcakes.
Oh, yummy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's now getting an earful over there, but she made the cupcakes. And you're doing a very good job. This is the famous and fabulous Serena eating a Gypsy Bonobo cupcake on the Dr. Susan Block Show and doing a very sexy job of it.
Thank you, Susan.
Oh, my pleasure. You probably need the energy right now because you're working hard there, out there in the marketplace, doing the show. You're doing a great job. So thank you, and carry on. And I hope to see you again real soon.
Absolutely.
You know, you're absolutely invited to my studio in, I'm not going to say where because this is live on the air, but
thank you
West
very
LA.
Much.
I will, you know. Let's keep in touch.
Next time I'm in town. I live in San Francisco. So.
Okay, here's my card.
Cool.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay, Serena, brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, the famous and the fabulous and the beautiful Serena. Yes, and we're happy to have her. And now we have a new guest, I believe. We have someone else here. I think, but maybe not. Oh, here he is. Okay.
Hello.
He doesn't care.
We meet again.
Yeah, we do. We keep meeting. So, are these headsets working? Are they worth wearing? Let's see if the headset actually works. Sometimes I've noticed my guests actually moving the headset so they can hear. So you try. Okay. Put it on. All right. Here we go. Find the headset.
There we go.
And yes, this is the writer, producer, director of Sticky, the movie. And his name is Nicholas
Tanna.
Tanna. Tannen?
Like Montana without the Mon.
Montana. Oh, Tanna.
Just Tanna.
Tanna. Okay.
Yeah.
Nicholas Tanna, welcome to the Dr. Susan Block Show. Why are you taking my drink away?
You know, I hear better without these. I don't hear anything.
Right. Okay.
Can I remove them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
They look cool. I'm sure.
Take them off. They look cool, but you know, your hat looks cool too.
All right. So I'll put this on.
You do seem like a caring person, and it says
this is to remind me not to get too attached. It's like a Buddhist mantra.
You mean like to the freedom of speech that we have in America that might disappear any day?
If we had freedom of speech in America, my film would be on television, but it's not on television.
Well,
it's on Amazon.
We kind of have. I mean, we have it to a relative degree that I think we're going to have less of. So.
Well, actually, the movie we're going to talk about, Sticky Self Love Story, is actually on TV in Italy.
Oh,
so
wow.
So the land that gives you the Vatican and the Pope is willing to put a documentary on masturbation on television, but the land of the free and the brave will not touch it, no pun intended.
You know, and the land of the Vatican and the Pope actually gave me my husband, because he's Italian. And that's
Italian.
Max.
That's
yeah.
Great.
And you're Italian. I love Italians. Yeah. I grew up with Italians. And so, you know, I always feel that Italians, they always have a loophole. You know, they got the Catholicism. It's pretty strict. But after all, I mean, this was ancient Rome. They came out of paganism. And, I think there's a lot of openness. And I personally learned how to give head from Catholic girls talking about it.
Really?
Yeah.
And as an Italian man, I tried to help as many people.
Uh-huh. There you go. Okay. So what made you make a movie about masturbation?
You know, why not? You write about what you know. That's what they say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody knows about that, though.
Yeah. It's a subject that touches us all.
It is, and we touch it a lot. But we don't always like talk about it. Okay. You know, in fact, we rarely do.
Yeah, that's why I'm always interested in where people draw the line between what is appropriate and what is not appropriate. And interestingly enough, I found it took nearly a decade to make this film, actually,
yeah.
Partly because of the taboo nature of it. I call masturbation the world's most popular taboo.
Yes, yes, it is. I mean, everybody does it at some point.
Really?
You know, they might stop, I think, but they try it. I mean, what's
most
why
people.
Not? The
yeah.
hands go there.
You know, they say there's evidence of babies masturbating in utero.
In utero, that's mm-hmm. true. There is, that the baby puts their hands, I mean, they're not a baby yet, by the way, but when they're, you know, kind of formed and they have hands, they put them between their legs.
It's amazing.
And play.
Well, you know, it's just the very basic nature of wanting to move towards something that's pleasurable.
And it is one of my very first memories from, you know, 2 years old. I mean, not masturbating to orgasm, but just touching myself and doing it for pleasure and comfort and, you know, yeah, it's such a basic, simple, wonderful thing.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. In the film, we touch upon so many different subjects. We interviewed a priest, a rabbi, a Buddhist monk.
What did the priest say?
The priest said it was a sin, actually.
And did he say he ever masturbated?
No.
He actually said he never did.
He didn't answer the question.
Okay. Well, at least he didn't lie.
Yeah.
Right. He didn't answer. Okay. He didn't lie.
You know,
because everybody does. That's my belief, unless you're an unfortunate person that can't. You know, has no arms, you know.
Yeah, you know.
I guess.
The rabbi said if God didn't want us to masturbate, he would have made our arms shorter.
No, that's what George Carlin said.
He was quoting George Carlin. You're one of the first people to recognize that. Yeah, it was a George Carlin.
No, I've been using that line for years. Yeah.
And it's true, right?
Right.
What do T-Rex do?
yeah. But you know about what Diogenes said.
No.
Would that God would have made it so simple to alleviate our hunger as it is to alleviate our sexual desire by simply rubbing. Oh, something like, would that we could rub our stomach to alleviate our hunger just as we can rub our genitalia to alleviate our sexual desire. You know, that it's such a basic, wonderful thing.
That's actually pretty well said, yeah.
Yeah, although I mangled it myself. I didn't say it that well. But Diogenes said it much better. And Truman Capote even had a good thing to say about it. He said it's sex you don't have to dress up for.
And then there's Woody Allen.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that one, Annie Hall?
You don't
it's
have
sex
to.
With someone I love.
Someone's sex with someone I love. Yeah, yeah.
Don't knock masturbation. It's sex with someone I love.
Okay, so anybody say anything else in your movie that I haven't heard before?
Well, the primatologist talks about how you, because I noticed you had the bonobo monkey shirt before.
They're not monkeys, they're apes.
Okay, the bonobo.
And that would be the bonobo way right here. Yeah, the evolution of peace through pleasure. And masturbation, as well as, of course, all kinds of sex, helps them to be the make-love-not-war chimpanzees that swing through the trees as well as with each other.
Do you know Amy Parrish?
Yes,
okay,
yes.
Okay, she's in the film.
Oh, okay, she's the primatologist.
Yes.
Cool,
and she actually talks about how there is a theory, apparently when the female bonobos masturbate, they increase the acid levels of their vaginal secretions.
Yes.
And so some people theorize that perhaps leads to killing off the semen from a mate that they were not satisfied with.
Ah.
Therefore, in essence, masturbation could play a hand in human evolution.
Well, and I guess as a sort of birth control system,
there you
know.
I didn't like that person.
Yeah, well, and it's natural if you're not so happy, if you didn't have an orgasm, if the person didn't really do you, then you got to do yourself
off.
A little more. Yeah.
It's evolution.
Yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh.
But therefore, the female would have actually quite a powerful, profound
orgasm.
Hand in human evolution.
Well, really. and orgasms. The bonobos have tremendous orgasms. They fall out of their trees. Fortunately, they're like cats and they know how to land.
And I thought we were evolving.
Well, evolution is not always for the better. Right? You know? I mean, we've evolved in many ways and we can build churches and universities and hospitals and pentagons and bonobos can't, but they can make peace through pleasure. They've never been seen killing each other in the wild or captivity, And some of it has to do with all that masturbating.
Well, hands that are masturbating can't be firing guns.
Well, there you go.
Right?
There you go. And their hands are very occupied by masturbating, by loving, by touching.
That actually brings up a point in the film. We actually talk about the obscenity ban in Alabama. Are you familiar with that?
Alabama bans a lot of things. I know they banned vibrators.
Not much with guns, though. Like, actually, yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
that's
no,
exactly
the guns
it.
Are okay.
Guns, it has some. Alabama has some of the loosest gun laws.
Yeah.
But they have some of the strictest laws that you cannot buy or sell dildos in the state of Alabama.
Right,
but,
right, yeah.
But you do not see anyone running into a theater threatening to kill someone with a vibrator.
No.
So who are they protecting?
What they're protecting is the women folk from having orgasms without the men folk because they want them to be barefoot and pregnant. I mean, I think that's kind of,
It's fascinating the extent to which, personally, I think I love a masturbating woman. In fact, I think anyone that's comfortable with their sexuality and can get off, they're you tend to be, from my experience, better in bed.
Well, you do, because you can't help someone else to make you feel good unless you know how to make yourself feel good.
I believe that.
And somehow communicate that.
Well, it's also fascinating where we're going with virtual reality. And we're actually blurring the lines between what is sex and masturbation.
Yeah.
If you're in your own room and you're in this orgiastic virtual environment, but you're just technically in your own room pleasuring yourself, is that sex or masturbation?
Right. And then there's phone sex, simple phone sex, where you're both masturbating over the phone. And is that masturbation? Yeah. Is it sex? Well, if you make a... Yeah, I mean, you're connecting.
Well, no one uses phones anymore, though. So they'll be using their cell phone.
No, we use phones. Well, you know, a lot of people don't use phones, but it's a lot of people do. And then there's, of course, virtual sex, you know, that you have over the computer, but...
Yeah, we can do better in the augmented reality category, too, you know?
I'm old school. I like the phone sex myself.
You like the phone sex?
I do, because I like to hear a voice in my head, like headphones. You know, I'm a radio
person.
Can
you imagine
person.
Being, like, in a virtual environment where you're feeling things and you're, like, it's almost like you're there?
I know. That's kind of overkill for me. I've done the ocular, what is it called? The kind of headset you put on where you see the porn happening right in front of you, and it's like you're in the scene.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's just overload. And I'm not connecting with another person, at least what I did. It was just connecting with the movie and kind of feeling like I was really there.
It has a lot of room for improvement.
Kind of wanted to run away from being there. And it's very off-putting when the person is wearing the thing. Mm-hmm. Hard to relate to someone like that. But yeah, it's developing technology for sure. And masturbation is definitely at the bottom of it, at the root. And masturbation is a great thing because Lord knows, lady knows, we've got too many people in this world, too many humans, not enough bonobos, but too many humans. And masturbation is a great form of birth control just on its own.
But actually, on the flip side of that, we interviewed a Dr. Cappy Rothman, who, are you familiar with Dr. Cappy Rothman? He calls himself the Sperm King.
Okay.
Because he works at sperm banks. And basically, he says, quoted in the film, he's responsible for over 100,000 kids, bringing them into this world. So those that argue you cannot have kids, you know, that's not necessarily true. He gets the semen from the masturbatorium, they call it,
the
room they go into, and they masturbate and get the semen, and he's able to give people that want children. So,
well, that's cool.
You know, the whole argument that it does not lead to birth that the church might lead you to believe is absolutely not true.
Well,
with science now.
I think it depends, and in that case it does, and certainly in the case of many couples, you know, it begins with masturbation.
Yeah.
Sex begins with masturbation, or masturbation comes into the middle of it. It's a part of sex. But I have to say, there's a lot of people that just do it by themselves for fun. Masturbation is recreation, and it is fun. It is a form of fun that doesn't hurt anybody, and unless you're doing it like 47 times in one day, and I do know guys that do that, you might get skin abrasions from that. But, you know, usually it doesn't hurt you either.
Yeah, well, you know what? Actually, there was a mother. We interviewed a woman, Dr. Linda Mona. Do you know Dr. Linda Mona? She specializes in a lot of people with disabilities. And she told this really touching story about a mother who was very religious, and she was very kind of conservative around sex. But her son was born disabled, and he had never, he could not physically have sex.
But he could masturbate.
But he could masturbate. And she actually, he wanted some porn mags. This is back when people were doing the mag thing. And he, she actually bought some for him. Propped him up where he can get to it, and put him in a position where he can do it. And this is
nice,
very uncomfortable for her.
How many moms
But she
would
wanted
do this?
To give her son that option. And so
beautiful.
A lot of people, also people that are veterans of war, that are coming back, and they can't have sex quite like they could before. I mean, masturbation, to say that it's bad and wrong, I mean, this is like an outlet for people that actually can have sex, too. So
absolutely.
In many ways, it can be therapeutic. So.
And it is a form of sex. If you can't have, I would say, well, to be very picky, sexual intercourse or sex with another person, because it's a form of sex. It's sex with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, self-love.
You complete you.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it's complete, but it's certainly great. You know, and I'm so glad that you've made a movie about it. And that's very cool. That's awesome. And are you going to make now a movie about like more masturbation or sex?
Well, actually, this is the first part of a trilogy, sort of, on relationships.
Oh, okay.
This is our stickiest self-love story, is our touchy relationship with pleasure and ourselves. The second one is Committed, The Truth Behind Marriage and Monogamy, which is more of our relationships to others, to the Institute of Marriage and the notions of that. And then the third would be, it's more on like a moral level. I call it morality. Our relationship with what we believe to be God and the soul. It's very metaphysical.
Ooh,
so,
yes.
Because that forms our ethics.
And after all, when we come
morality.
Really good, who do we call out to? God, baby, God, baby.
Sometimes
God.
When we're masturbating. Oh God, it's gonna happen.
Maybe sometimes when if you're really into it.
You know the word for dildo in French, I believe, is
God.
Yeah, God.
It is.
God.
It is.
Yeah. So in France, they do call it.
They do call it God. Yeah, they do. They do. Right. I did an interview about sex toys, so I know that in France.
Leave it to the French, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But when you open doors there, it's poussé, right? You gotta love them.
You gotta love the French. And have you presented your movie in France?
Not in France, actually. We have not had we did in Amsterdam, and even Moscow.
In Moscow,
yes.
Wow. Did you get any Russian hookers?
No, I think a few showed up to the screening.
Putin bring one in?
No. But I think he was in the back
golden
of the
showers?
Audience.
Golden showers? Yeah.
No golden showers.
Do you think
shower.
We're freer now, or?
I think we're going worse.
We're
getting worse.
Okay.
I think it's more timely
problem.
Now, this film, because we interviewed Dr. Joycelyn Elders. She's in the film, the first African-American Surgeon General.
All right.
Was fired by sort of liberal President Bill
and
Clinton.
That is a phrase for masturbating, firing the Surgeon General. You know, I have so much I want to talk to you about, so you're going to have to come visit me in Bonoboville because we got to go.
We'll
but
do it.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for
Sticky
having
the
me.
Movie. Yeah, absolutely. And you do care. Oh, I shouldn't just. I mean,
she
where's
shook
this
my hand
been?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and a cupcake.
Oh, great.
Yeah, have a cupcake.
Thank you.
You can stick your dick into it and masturbate if you want. Or that's better with a pie, right? Okay. I think we're running out of time, actually, here on the Dr. Susan Block Show. We're excited. We had a great time here at the Golden Age of Adult Cinema, brothers and sisters here at the Cupcake Theater. And Max, of course, is a Golden Ager himself, so he's going to have a cupcake.
I'm a Golden Ager myself, and I'm going to have a cupcake.
Yeah, right.
Is there an echo industry?
And Max helped Annie Sprinkle to find her way into the art world.
Actually, Annie used to live with us in Italy, but that's another story.
It is a big story, and we don't have time for that. We got to go, so...
Eat a cupcake.
You know, eat a cupcake.
Eat some pussy.
And make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war. Whether you masturbate or you eat cupcakes together, watch porn, you know, this is a time to emphasize the positive, be sexual, don't resort to violence, and just love one another and resist, resist.
Resist.
Get your safety pins out.
Resist,
you got to resist
the Nazis.
The tyranny, right?
The tyranny.
The tyranny. Resist the tyranny. Make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight. Even if that someone is you, I love you. Hey, that's the whole masturbation theme, right? Yeah, we're good. Okay. Yep. Masturbation.
All right.
Talk with someone about something you can't talk about with anyone else? You can talk to us. I'm Dr. Susan Block, your mistress of the airwaves. But my day job is director of the Dr. Susan Block Institute for the Erotic Arts and Sciences, specializing in sex therapy over the phone. Anytime you need to talk, whether you need serious psychotherapy or a hot phone sex experience or a combination, my world-renowned telephone sex therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role-play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo. And help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on World Wide Web.